Amen. Well, somebody suggested that we bring a teaching on what does the Word of God say about our gathering together? What does the Word of God say about our order in gathering together? Is there an order? Yes, there is an order. The Word of God makes that clear. And let me just, this is just kind of an outline, it's a framework, it's not every detail that we could ever talk about, but I'd like to just bring a little teaching on, you know, I'm looking at my list here, it looks like a short list, but I'm wondering if we can really get through it in one time. I want to start in Psalm, the 100th chapter, Psalm 100. And these are verses that you've heard before, brethren. Every word that I'm going to bring today, I think you've all heard before. But let's just kind of put it together and see what God is saying about how do we approach God. And this is really what the purpose of our gathering together is. We have come together for the purpose of worship, have we not?
Amen.
Now, it's nice to have fellowship, but fellowship, and what I mean by fellowship, that is the camaraderie and the love that we share one with another, is really kind of a secondary thing. I was going to say byproduct. I'm not sure that's a good word. But the main purpose that we come is to please the Lord. We are coming to worship the King. We are not coming to worship one another, but we're coming to worship Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So in Psalm 100, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Now, what comes out of our mouth, insofar as before the Lord, is supposed to be joyful. Amen. How many of you have met people that make a grumbling noise before the Lord? And you know, the Lord isn't much different than we are. I enjoy talking to people that talk joyfully. I get weary at people that call and all they have to say is what's the opposite of joyful?
Grumbly
things. Complaints, this type of thing. If we're going to approach the King, we come with a joyful spirit. Mm-hmm. Amen? He says here, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." So the very first thing that we should do is to come into His presence. You say, well, why do we always sing at the beginning of our meetings? Because it says here in Psalms that we are coming before His presence in this manner. I suppose if we could really get a glimpse of heaven, and not many of us have had much of a glimpse, John had a glimpse of heaven, and he saw that they were around the throne, and they were praising. Amen. They were casting their crowns before Him. They were saying, "Great and mighty is the Lord," you know, greatly to be praised. So there was, brethren, I believe in heaven is a place of praise. And if we want to bring heaven into this earth where we are, I believe we're going to have to do what they do in heaven. Amen. It says, "Serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing." Amen. And you know, there are songs and then there are songs. The kind of singing we're talking about is the kind of singing that gives honor to the Lord.
Amen.
We're not coming with rock or Christian rock or any kind of thing that worships anything else other than the Lord.
Amen.
Now it says here in verse 3, this is a very short chapter, by the way. And you know, I can go through the whole Psalms and find witness to these very same verses that I'm reading here. "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture." We have to come with a knowledge that He is the Creator God, and we are the created beings. Now, when you come in that posture, how can you come with arrogance and pride? I'm just a little thing that He made. Who am I to stand up and shake my puny little fist and put my finger in His face?
Amen?
Amen? Enter into His gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
So again, it's not that we're doing a celebration. You know, well, we're going to have Thanksgiving. It's on the calendar. It's a certain day. And I think it is a nice time to pause and give thanksgiving to the Lord. But just bringing a roast turkey in front of the Lord is not coming before His presence in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the thing in my heart.
Uh-huh.
I am thankful.
Amen.
How many of you are thankful for the circumstances in your life?
Yes. Yes.
How many of you have given thanks for the difficulty in your life?
Amen.
How many of you give thanks for the painful things in your life? How about the pain in your body? Lord, I give You thanks for that pain. I wish it would go away. But Lord, I am thankful toward You. I want to learn to be thankful for You, Lord. Amen. I want to acknowledge that You are in all circumstances, that You are in control of all circumstances. There is nothing that has come my way that You didn't give permission for it to come here. Lord, I've read the book of Job. Amen. And I saw that You gave the devil permission. Even the things, the destructive things that the devil has brought. Lord, He's got Your permission. I might have opened the door, and I give You thanks, Lord, but I want to drive the devil out.
Amen.
Amen? And Lord, I believe I can only do so by coming before You in thanksgiving. With a heart of gratitude, Lord. Because if I come before the presence of the Lord in bitterness, anger, rancor, amen, animosity toward my brethren, how is God going to hear my prayer?
Amen.
And how is He going to accept my sacrifice of praise? So we enter His gates. Amen. What was the gate of the tabernacle? It was coming into the outer court. Wasn't that the part that was called the gate? Amen? So if we're going to come into His holy presence, we have to come first through the gate into the outer court. And then we're going to come into the secret place of the Most High from there. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Oh, I didn't read the middle part. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. What court would you like to come into? Amen? How would you like to come into the holy place? Amen? And how are you going to get there? By praise. Amen? Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. There's thanks twice in here now, isn't there? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. You know, while we're right here, just go over the page, if it's on the same page, to 98. Sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. How many of you know that song? Isn't that a beautiful song? Amen. Now, go down a little ways to verse 5. Sing unto the Lord with a harp. With the harp and the voice of the psalm. How many of you know what a harp is? A harp is a what kind of instrument?
Stringed
instrument. You know, we have three miniature harps. No, four. We have a fourth one over here, a bass harp. These are harps, brethren. And the piano is rightly also a harp. This one happens to be an electronic harp. It's a stringed instrument, is what a harp is. So, you see, there's a proper place for instruments also when we gather before the Lord, those that are skilled at playing. There's a proper place for song. There are those who are gifted in song. There are those who are gifted in the stringed instruments. Amen? And the voice of a psalm. With trumpets. And sound of cornet. Now, what are these? These are not stringed instruments, are they? Now, if you have a gift for the what are these called? Woodwinds and brass. If you have a gift for those, bring them in. God will find a place for them. This is the word of God that I'm reading today, brethren. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Amen. I'm not going to get to the next part about the sea roaring because I don't have much control over the sea and the floods and this type of thing. But everything is going to praise the Lord. The sea, the water, the wind, everything is meant to praise the Lord. Now, let's get back to 1 Corinthians now that we know that there is a place of coming in. Once we have come into the presence of the Lord, there is also an order in how we are to carry out. I think we've alluded to this last week, but let me... 1 Corinthians we're going to. You probably figured that out already. Chapter 14. Now, brethren, if you want a 6 or 8 week message, you're going to ask me to go through this whole chapter. So, can I abbreviate today and just hit what I believe is the high point? Okay, if you want to go over it in more detail later, we can do that. But one of the high points that I come to here is here in verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together? Let's stop right here. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together? Now, the word does not say, if you choose to come together. It's implied, is it not, that it is God's order that we come together. Mm-hmm. Is it not? Mm-hmm. Can you give me another witness to that? Mm-hmm. How about from Hebrews? Where's the verse in Hebrews that says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together? And the last part of that verse says, and even more so as you see the day approaching. Can we all agree that we see the day approaching? But whether we see the day approaching or not, the first part of the verse is still the word of the Lord, that we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, which is the manner of some. I think it goes on and says, which is the manner of some. So, brethren, why do we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together? Why do we gather together? I put it in the negative first, and now I should have started with a positive. Why gather together? Because what? Because the life is where? The life is in the body, is it not?
Amen.
And the body, of course, has to be joined to the head. Otherwise, it's just a dead body. So it's a living body if Christ is our head.
Amen.
So, let's go on. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you? My goodness, there's so many places to stop in this verse. When ye come together, every one of you. Does that exclude anybody here? Is there anybody that doesn't include? From the what? Least to the eldest?
Yeah.
It includes us all.
Yeah.
Every one of you hath something.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Is that true?
Yes.
That every one of you hath something?
Amen. Amen.
What do you have? Every one of you hath a psalm. What's a psalm? A psalm is a song. So, in other words, there's going to be a distribution among the every one of you of something to bring to the meeting. Now, under the old order that is supposed to be dying away, the old order says you don't bring anything, you just come and get something.
Right.
I remember hearing a preacher preach one time, and by the way, at the time I thought it was a pretty good word. But he said, just come and open your mouth and let it be filled. And God will fill it. Well, I think what he was quite involved in filling it, but on the one hand, yes, come and open your mouth and God will fill you. All right? But what do they call it when people come together and they all bring food to the table? A potluck? Yeah. So the gathering together of the saints is sort of a spiritual potluck. Every one of you hath something to bring. Now, when we come to a potluck, if everybody brings lettuce, salad, and nobody brings anything else, you're going to have a rabbit potluck. All you're going to have there is lettuce. Okay, now there are other things to eat. And there are other people who like to eat other things than just the lettuce. No, and it won't last very long either, will it?
Water.
Okay. And whoever is going to bring the drink, everybody just brings water. Sometimes people like to drink something else other than water. There's a variety. And God is a big variety. There are many things in the Lord that fill us up. Amen? So, we start off, the first thing that's mentioned is a psalm. Again, is that coincidental that we start off with a psalm? And by the way, we can finish with a psalm, and we can have a psalm in the middle, if that's what God wants. Sometimes, you know, I was tempted to do this when I was reading this in Psalm 98, was it? I would have just liked to have just started singing that song. You too? We'll get back to it. Don't let us forget it. Amen? It was a good song. Amen. Okay, so every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine. What's a doctrine?
Teaching.
A doctrine is a teaching. Some of you are gifted with psalms, some of you are gifted with teaching. I seem to enjoy the teaching part better. Amen. But it doesn't mean that more of you don't have a teaching.
Amen.
Maybe John has a teaching sometime. God has been teaching. You know, in order to have a teaching, it means that God has been teaching you something.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
I keep trying to get Rita to share something. I mean, she's digging in the Word, you know. I said, what are you doing? Oh, I'm looking up a certain subject. My goodness, she's digging in it. She's uncovered treasures that I didn't know were there. And I think that God is teaching her.
Amen.
Sometimes she's going to get full, and I would expect she's just going to just start overflowing and start sharing in it.
Amen.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot, sister. I'm just giving an example. I know you wouldn't mind. There are others, you know, by the way, and to do a doctrine, to do a teaching, doesn't mean you have to go an hour like I do. There are good 3-minute teachings. Hey, here's what God taught me last week. A one-verse teaching. And it's good and it's rich. And it brings life to somebody. Amen. A doctrine, a tongue. Whatever happened to tongues? Are we not Spirit-filled people? Are we not baptized in the Holy Ghost? Most of us. You know what? And this isn't, I hate to use the word infectious, but I don't have a better word. This is infectious too. When people start manifesting the gifts of the Spirit, other people that are desiring to be baptized in the Holy Ghost are going to get it.
Amen.
Do you remember the story I told you when we were in Ukraine with Brother DeCille? We had interpreters that were working with us. They were very good at English. Excellent interpreters. And we were in meeting. I'll never forget this. It was one of the coldest meeting halls I'd ever been to. You know that some of these people in these countries, like Ukraine, Russia, Siberia, they meet in halls all winter long with almost no heating in those places. You and I, we wouldn't go to those meetings. But because they desire the Lord so much, they go to those meetings. We had our wool hats. I think I was almost tempted to keep that big fur hat on my head during the meeting. I just thought, well, in respect for the Lord, I better take it off, you know, because we're not used to it. We think that that's a respectful thing to take the hat off, you know. So I took my hat off. They had their hats off and didn't bother them at all. But we started praying for young people. I've never seen so many young people in this hall, and they wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So Dacia was here, I was here, Tanya and Sergey were somewhere else praying for people. The interpreter that was with me, I can't remember her name, but anyway, I'm praying in tongues. She's interpreting for me when I spoke English. You know, when I would pray in English, Lord, baptize him in the Holy Ghost, Lord, and she would speak it. And then I'd start speaking in tongues, you know, and then they'd start speaking in tongues. And she's going, Hushalambakbaranema. And I thought she was speaking Russian. And finally she stopped and she looked at me and she says, oh, I'm speaking in tongues. I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. The interpreter got the Holy Ghost. She didn't have it before. You see, it just jumped from one to the other. And it was what God was doing that day. The Holy Ghost was moving and baptizing people and filling them to the fullness with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brethren, if God hath a tongue, we can give it. And we'll pray for an interpreter to be there. Now, just because somebody didn't interpret doesn't mean that you committed an unpardonable sin. We want to pray for the interpreter. And somewhere along the line, we're going to have to launch out. And then somebody's going to have to say, Lord, I think you're giving me the interpretation of that word. Or maybe the one that gave it is going to say, oh, I know what that means.
Amen.
It might be very simple. But this is, brethren, this is the way we exercise spiritual gifts. We've got to start. And you know what? We're going to be children. We're going to fall. We're going to make some mistakes. They're not unpardonable sins.
Amen.
We're going to judge what we do. Hey, nobody's getting a life sentence to prison over it.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
We're going to learn. Hath a tongue, hath a revelation. What's a revelation? It's a prophetic word.
Amen.
We had a very brief prophetic word here today. Very brief, but it was a word. It was a revelation from God. You know, God can give us revelations for what psalm we should be singing. That's a revelation too, isn't it? And you know, some of the songs that we sing are prophetic.
Yes, they are.
I don't know what God did here today, but one of those songs had a prophetic anointing on it and began to move the sister's heart today.
Amen.
Broke her heart. Began to break out in other people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hath an interpretation. This is when there's a tongue. An interpretation. Let all things be done unto what?
Edifying.
What does edifying mean? Edifying means it's building up, it's strengthening,
Amen.
It's positive to the body of Christ.
Amen.
It's not anger and bitterness and tearing down.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let all things be done for the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me go to another verse here. You see, I'm just picking out a few verses here that are... verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. How many of you know that you have a right to covet something? This is what we have a right to covet. Maybe that word has a better explanation. It says earnestly desire. That's what coveting is. It's earnestly desiring something.
That sounds better.
Yeah. We think covet is a bad word. Covet means that you want something. Now, if it's somebody else's, you have no right to covet it. Okay? But if it's of God, God wants you to earnestly desire. He wants you to press in.
Amen?
Covet to prophesy. Wow. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be a prophet.
Right.
It just means that God is showing you something, and you've got, there's a burning in you, and you've got to speak it out. Now, sometimes you're going to get a burning in you, and it's just going to be your flesh stirring up. We're going to have to learn the difference between the rising up of the flesh and the rising up of the spirit. You know, sometimes we get excited about songs, and sometimes it's the flesh, because the flesh likes what's going on. It likes the tone, it likes the beat, it likes this and that. It may be flesh. But then again, it might be the spirit. And we're going to have to learn to discern the difference.
Yes.
When we see what God has done, what I believe that God did this morning was of the spirit. I don't believe we can say that was a flesh thing. And you know, this is why we have people that are older in the things of God, so that we've been through some of these experiences. We've seen flesh, we've seen spirit, and we can help to judge, was that of the spirit or was that of the flesh, brethren?
Right, of the spirit.
Yeah, we want the better things. Amen? Let all things be done decently and in order.
Amen.
Did you know that there's an order in God?
Amen.
In other words, we don't just come helter-skelter and, well, whatever comes, you know. Just whatever falls. There's an order in God. You know, you go back into the Old Testament, and you look at when God was calling a meeting. What was the meeting where he called the elders together and he told Moses, he said, you know, I'm going to have a meeting with you and the elders of Israel, and it's going to be 3 days from now. In other words, he gave them things to do. He said, I want you to do certain things for the next 3 days. I want your heart prepared. I want your flesh prepared. I want you to focus upon me. I want you to, your mind, I want your heart to begin to get in on order. And there's going to be a certain order in coming before the awesome presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Brethren, we should be preparing ourselves before we ever get here to the meeting. That's part of the order. And when we come into the gathering together, we will be in order. You see, the problem with trying to walk the way we want to walk in our meeting is that the devil believes that he can come in and create disorder. Disorder is of the devil. And what's going to happen, and you've seen it happen, brethren, is when we don't have a strong controlling over the meeting, people come in who have unclean spirits, and they see what appears to be a real openness, and they don't understand what it's all about. Somebody's waiting on God, waiting for the Spirit of God, and these spirits of disorder will jump in and start manifesting themselves in a very ugly, unclean way.
Amen.
But let me add, in a very religious way.
Yeah.
Some of them will believe that they're speaking in tongues. And you know, brethren, we're going to have to discern in our heart, in the spirit, that tongue that woman is speaking is not the Spirit of God. It doesn't leave me with any peace. It leaves me distressed. You know, you don't have to be the world's longest living prophet to discern that some things are not of God. And probably the other place that we've failed is we've failed in judging these things.
Yeah.
Because we're afraid of offending people.
Yeah.
And the devil knows that.
Yeah.
The devil knows that we want peace. We don't want a big fight. We don't want disruption. And these spirits come with a hint of anger behind them. Don't you touch me. Don't you set me down, or I'm really going to blow up and I'm really going to make a fuss. And I'm going to spread it in the whole community that you're a bunch of mean people. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No.
These are intimidating spirits. We're going to have God's order, and we're still going to have to protect that order from these unclean religious spirits that come in. You know, you can have this same religious unclean spirit expressed in prayer. Did you know that? You know, we probably need a whole teaching on what prayer is and what it isn't. But when I hear prayer that is informing God of everything that went on in your life the last 3 weeks, God already knows. Whose benefit are you saying that all for? If you want to tell us, just get up and tell us. Don't make it a prayer.
Amen.
Don't say, "Oh God, and you know how that man ran over me last week, and you know how, you know this, and you know." No, yes, of course he knows. Why are you saying it? Why are you bringing all that dirt in front of us?
Attention.
Yes, let's be sensitive, let us pray, and let us believe that our prayer is going forth to the Lord.
Amen.
And not to the people that are sitting next to us.
Amen.
We are not praying to each other.
Right.
That's a one-liner.
Yes.
But there's so much more about prayer. Just look at how Jesus taught the disciples to pray. He was praying to the Father, praying for the coming of the kingdom, praying about our own attitudes, our own trespasses, you know. Yes, the Lord's Prayer can be very religious. People pray the Lord's Prayer when they don't know what else to say, and they don't understand what they're saying.
No, they don't.
No. Hallelujah. Okay, there's order. Verse 33. All right, let's go to verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Now, we really don't have a problem in this realm in our local fellowship here. But a whole lot of prophets all wanting to prophesy. Would to God we had a couple of prophets here that wanted to prophesy. What he's saying here is, let there not be competition among the prophets. Each one can have his turn.
Right.
Amen. Let's have three or four. We probably don't need to prophesy the whole hour and a half. There's other things to be done too. But what he's saying is the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Now this is in reference to all these spiritual gifts.
Amen.
The spirit of the gift is subject to the one expressing the gift. Now I discovered this about an hour after I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I got hit, really hit, with the baptism. I mean, whoa, I exploded in tongues. And I thought, I walked out of that cabin after the people left that had laid hands, you know, and everything, and I started walking. I was at a camp up in the Adirondacks. It was a Mennonite camp. It was a Mennonite preacher that laid hands on me. Two of them, in fact. There was the one young one was hardly, he wasn't even 20 years old, but I think he was a gonna-be preacher. Anyway, I start walking down toward the lake, and I'm really going. And I'm thinking to myself, it's about an hour later, I'm still going, and I'm thinking, I wonder what would happen if I stopped. Wonder if God would leave me if I stopped. So I said, I'm just going to stop for a minute. I stopped. And you know, a piano didn't fall on me from heaven or something. He wasn't mad at me. And then I thought, I wonder if I could start again. And I went, yes. Hashikudama, and I started in again. And basically I discovered what this is saying, that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. I could stop it, I could start it again, because the spirit was still there in me. I was the one who could stop my tongue, or I could start my tongue again. Amen. And you know, brethren, if you're praying to God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you sense the stirring of the Spirit of God, just open your mouth, if that's what He wants to give you, and begin to speak. You probably could have got baptized in the Holy Ghost this morning.
I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Oh, you've already.
You got baptized in the water.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, you did it the Cornelius way.
Yes.
Amen. Okay, let's go on. And then it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints."
Amen.
Now, this is a teaching of the Apostle Paul given by the Holy Spirit. God is not the author of confusion. If there's confusion, God didn't write it. Somebody else did it.
Yeah.
All right?
Yes.
Confusion comes from the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Confusion comes from man. It comes from the flesh. But the Spirit of God does not bring confusion. So if there's confusion, sit back and ask the question, wait a minute, this is not God's order. Where did this come in? Something is wrong here. And brethren, I fully believe that there are enough sensitive people here of a sensitive spirit, then you can know the difference. There's enough people here watching that have a sensitive spirit.
Amen.
Amen. But of peace. If there isn't peace, you know, what does it say? Where does Paul say, let peace rule in your heart? Where is that? Do you remember?
Let God rule in your heart.
Yeah, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Well, I'm going to quote it in the Amplified, okay? Because I like the way the Amplified said it. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, settling with finality every question that arises in your mind, and act as umpire. The umpire calls it safe, or the umpire calls you out. So the peace is going to be the witness of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is saying by the Holy Spirit here that peace, not confusion, but peace, as in all churches of the saints. That means true churches. Did you find that verse?
Colossians 3:15.
Oh, Colossians 3, my favorite chapter. the one that the Lord spoke to me on the way to the hospital, for you are dead. My favorite chapter. Amen. Yes, here. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That rule means to act as an umpire. Amen. Settling every question that rises? Do you have a... You know, the first time I heard about the witness of peace is before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was in Fort Yukon, Alaska. One of those great little villages in Alaska. Garden spot. My flesh had an idea. I was going to be a doctor. Now, I was already a nurse. I'm a public health nurse.
Right.
And I was enjoying what I was doing, but I got the idea, mainly listening to somebody else, that you should go back to school and you should be a doctor. So I'm planning this. But something's bothering me.
Right.
In Fort Yukon, there was an old couple who were Assembly of God missionaries. There was an Episcopal church, there was a Baptist church, and there was Assembly of God in Fort Yukon. They have 500 people up there. Lots of room for three churches. And I was kind of afraid of the Assembly people because I thought, they're a little, you know, that spirit thing, you know, I don't know about that. It's kind of spooky. Nevertheless, there was something in me that was drawn to that. I didn't seek out the Baptist fellow. I knew him. I didn't seek out the Episcopal priest. I knew him too. But I sought out these Assembly of God people. Now, when I say they were old, they were almost 50 years old. I was in my 20s. And they were old to me. I thought, they're old and wise. These people were really telling me straight. So I had a meeting with them, and I laid it all out, all my plans. And these were such plain, ordinary people. I mean, just the kind of people you'd find in a restaurant somewhere in Oklahoma, you know. Just down-to-earth people. Dressed down-to-earth, you know. And I finished my story, and the woman looked at me across the table, and she says to me, "Mark, do you have peace about this?"
Right.
And I choked and gasped a little bit. Peace? What does that have to do with it? You know, doesn't God want a good Christian doctor? You know, wouldn't he be pleased with my plans? But it bothered me.
Yeah, your stomach knotted.
I mean, I didn't say a whole lot to her. I don't think I said this to her. I probably said, I guess I better pray about it. Something like that. But in my mind, I would say, why wouldn't God like my plan? And you know, boneheaded me. I went ahead with my plan, and I didn't have peace about it. I quit my job. I went down to the University of Wyoming. I took chemistry. I took chemistry till it was coming out of my ears. I began to hate chemistry. I went back up to Alaska. Got into the University of Alaska. Taking more chemistry. Organic chemistry. More. And I had no peace.
No.
I was so miserable. I got so miserable I couldn't live with myself.
Yeah.
Finally I said, I'm going the wrong way. I'm going the wrong way. Something's wrong. I got a vision of myself being a doctor, the most unhappy doctor you ever saw. And in all that, I was saying, but what if God wants me to preach the Word?
Amen.
Once I'm a doctor, I'd never give it up. I'd never quit. I'd have too much invested. What if he wants me to preach the word?
Right.
See, there was that what if in me.
Yeah.
That I wasn't baptized. Brethren, God had to hit me over the head with a sledgehammer to get my attention in those days. I tell you, if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're missing a lot.
Oh, yeah.
God will finally get through to you, but boy, will it take a banging on the head. It'll be so much easier to hear the Spirit of God.
Amen.
If you're only filled and baptized with the Spirit of God. So I went up to the college. I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to test it out first. I called Juneau, Alaska. Thousands of miles away. The capital. Asked for the chief nurse. Helen Hardigan. Helen, this is Mark. Oh, hi, Mark. How you doing? I said, Helen, have you filled my job yet? No. Do you want it back? I said, Helen, I'd be glad to take it back. When will you start? Monday morning. I went up to the University of Alaska and I quit, signed off of all my courses. And I especially went to the organic chemistry professor whom I was learning to hate. He smiled and he says, Mark, you were my best student. I think he was lying. You know, the man dropped dead about a month later.
Oh, boy,
yeah. You know what happened? I got peace.
Yes.
I'm just giving you a little description. See, this is teaching. This is what peace means. If you don't have peace, you can't live with yourself. You're going the wrong way.
Right.
When you're about to make a decision, do you have peace about it? And this is what that old Assembly of God woman, I don't even know their names anymore. Can't remember their names. I remember her face. She spoke a revelation to me.
Yes.
By the Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
She knew by the Spirit of God there's something in this man. He's not at peace or he wouldn't be sitting here at this table asking me these questions.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes.
Peace, not confusion. Let's go to chapter 12 for just a little bit in Corinthians. Members, I can see right now we're not going to get too far here. Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. Let's start in verse 12. Now the first part of this, again, is a description of the gifts. I'm not going to go into teaching about all these gifts. We can do it some other time if you need to, but these are the nine gifts of the Spirit. Amen. But now, starting in verse 12, how do these gifts work? How does it work in the body of Christ? Amen. For as the body is one, how many of you believe that?
Amen. Amen.
Hello, how many of you believe that?
Amen.
How many of you believe there is only one body?
Yes.
That means the body in Ohio, Indiana,
that's right, it's all one.
Haiti,
amen.
Philippines,
right.
Germany,
around the globe.
There is only one body.
Yes. Amen.
You can't pull out of the body and be in the body. Can you?
Mm-hmm.
I can't get mad at the body and go out of the body and still convince God that I'm in the body.
Right.
Can I?
No.
I mean, you can tell me how that works if you've got the answer.
How do you pull out of the body?
How do you pull out of the body anyway?
How do you do it?
I don't know.
What would that be?
There's people that believe they can do that, and they make attempts to do that, And they cut off fellowship with people that are in the body and believe that they're pulling out of the body. I don't know. Anyway, let's go on. For there is one body. That's the point I'm trying to make. There's one body. I don't have a choice. You know, when Paul would write to these churches, he didn't say to the churches that are in Ephesus. To the church that was in Ephesus, to the church that was in Galatia, to the church that was in Thessalonica. Amen? There was one body. Now, we can't all be in the same place because there's too many of us and the distance is too great. Therefore, we have local churches. Paul mentioned the word churches. This is what it happens. But there is really one body. Amen? And all members of that one body. So you see, there's one body and there's many members. Here I am standing. How many bodies do you see standing here behind the podium?
One body.
There's one. Do you see different members on me? Yes. I have a hand here, I have a hand here, I have an eye here, I have an eye here. I have lots of members in my body. If you had x-ray vision, you'd see a lot more members that are uncomely and things like that are hidden away down underneath here. Amen? Okay, so there's one body, many members of that one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now, in the same sense that when you look at me, you only see one, okay? This is Christ. He's only one. There's only one head. He has a many-membered body. Even as I have one head, any many-membered rest of me. Okay? For by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. So when you get baptized, you don't get baptized into the fellowship of such and such community, of such and such an organization, of such and such a name, or any such thing. You get baptized into the body of Christ. Amen? Whether we be Jew or Gentile, in other words, you're not getting baptized into a Jewish body, a Gentile body, or any other thing such as that, or any other race, or any other creed, or any other such thing. You're baptized into one body of Christ. Whether we be bond or free, we don't have a segregation there. I don't think we have many bond people around anymore. Yes, we do. We have people bound to Satan, and they need to get delivered from that.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Amen.
We're all drinking the same drink. What is the water? What is the drink a picture of? The water is a picture of the Spirit of God, is it not? We are all drinking of the same Spirit. If we're all drinking of the same Spirit, we're all going to be reading from the same book, aren't we? And we're all going to be believing pretty much the same thing. Now, the problem is going to be getting rid of flesh, of course, because flesh is going to say, oh no, this is it. Another flesh over here is going to say that. But if we're really all in the Spirit's going to be in agreement. Okay? Now, we're talking about how it should be. We're not always seeing it that way in the natural realm. We're coming into it.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming into it where the Spirit is total agreement. Okay? For one body is not one member, but many. Let's just go through the rest of this. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? That's a question. That's not a statement. Here is my foot complaining that he doesn't do what the hand does. Okay? Let's give an example of that. Here's what a hand does. Hi. How you doing?
Fine.
How you guys doing? Shake hands.
Right.
Okay.
I don't want your...
I got left out. Here I am down here on the floor. Nobody sees me.
Right.
I just get walked on all the time. stepped on. How come I can't reach up and get a hold of people and shake their hand every once in a while? I don't belong in the body. Yes, you do.
Amen.
You're bearing the weight of the whole body.
That's right.
You're very important. How do I find out how important I am? Get a problem in my foot and you'll find out in a hurry how important I am. You know? Break some bones down there and we'll find out. The whole body is going to scream.
Yep.
The hand will volunteer to go down there and be a foot for a while. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? There's no problem between the right hand and the left hand. You know my left hand doesn't complain because I use my right hand to shake hands with you? I don't ever get the chance to shake hands. How come I have to do all the dirty work? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the foot shall say, okay, and if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I like what the eye is doing better. But you're important. The eye can't hear. I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? No, the ear is of the body. Find out how important you are when your ears can't hear. You say, well, thank God you can still see.
Amen to that.
Mm-hmm. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Wouldn't that be weird?
Yeah.
A whole eye. A whole eye. Just looking around. Whole eye is just rolling back and forth. Sees all. Doesn't hear, can't walk, can't move, can't feed itself. Just a big eye. I mean, that would be a very out of order body of Christ, wouldn't it? Really look weird too, wouldn't it? Look like some creature from outer space. Amen. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. What word does that sound like? It sounds like order, doesn't it? God put it in order. He put my body in order. He put the gifts in the fellowship in order as it pleased him. How come I can't sing like sister? Because you have another gift. How come I can't play like brother on the harp? Because God has given you a gift. Maybe someday you will play like that.
Find it.
How come I can't prophesy? Well, maybe sometimes you will. But maybe God wants that other person to be super sensitive to His Spirit.
Amen.
Do you know, it isn't always a pleasant thing to be super sensitive to the things of the Spirit. Do you know that? People that are sensitive see things that they wish they didn't see. You know, Sister Janet, she had a gift of seeing things of the Spirit. And you know what? Sometimes it was very difficult to live with that gift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She knew things that were going to happen. She was afraid to go to meetings sometimes because she knew what was going to happen at the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
She could just see it all.
Amen.
Do we all want to be like that? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think a few that God puts in the body is sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
The people that I know that have a prophetic gift are not having a happy time these days. Amen. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Where would the rest of the body be? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. feeble. Let's see what that word means. Unpleasant. Am I reading the right word here?
Weak.
Yes. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, do we need to mention them? Those members that we keep hidden. Yes. Less honorable. Okay. Upon these we bestow more abundant honor, especially if they have problems. Amen. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lagged. That there should be no schism in the body. Now, what causes schism in the body of Christ?
Dissension.
That's another word for it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But what causes it? Why do these schisms come up? Did I hear the word pride? How does pride cause schism in the body of Christ? Because we criticize and we put down another member because pride says, I'm better than them, therefore I can put them down with my words. What else besides pride?
Jealousy.
Give me some more.
Arrogance.
Little first cousin to pride, isn't it? Brother even. Twin brother. Yeah. How about unforgiveness? Bitterness.
Anger.
Hurts. Hurts that come about because of anger.
Grievous words,
yep. These are things that cause schism in the body. Misunderstandings. Shooting off the mouth. Harboring ill will, ill feelings. Harboring these things. And it's going to cause a schism in the body. Now, look at my natural body again and tell me, my body was made by Christ, okay? He formed the body, the human body. Tell me what's going to happen in my body if there's some kind of a schism of my members. A schism means what? A separation, okay? What kind of members in my body could there be a schism? What would happen if one of my arms were removed? Here's a fivefold ministry, all right? I have a whole hand with a fivefold ministry, a supporting arm and all that. And this little segment says, well, we don't agree with the rest of the body. We're going to be separated off. And somehow they managed to pull off my shoulder, and they're not going to be part of the body anymore. First of all, do you think my body is going to miss him?
Yeah.
My body is going to suffer greatly.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, what about the life of this schismatic group? This ministry. Oh, we have fivefold ministry. We can pull off here. We don't need the rest of that body. We don't need to be joined and everything else like that. Is this arm going to be able to walk anywhere? Is it going to be able to see and hear? Where is it going to get its nourishment? There's no stomach to go with it. It forgot to take the stomach with it. It forgot to take the mouth and the teeth with it. It's going to be laying out there dying. Eventually it's going to die. I don't know how long it can live, but unless it gets part of the body again, it's going to start stinking. And I don't know. It's going to be a painful process. That there should be no schism in the body, but that members should have the same care one for another. Care one for another. How do you care one for another? Well, how do you care for people that you love in your family?
Mm-hmm.
Brother and sister, do you care for your family? Do you care for your children? Do you guys care for one another?
You wouldn't know it sometimes.
But indeed, you do.
Yeah.
Yes. If somebody were to come and attack one of them, we'd find out in a hurry, wouldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, amen. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. All right, let's talk about that again. Now, suppose my eye suffers. Suppose I get a splinter in my eye. Is the rest of the body going to notice?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Is the rest of the body going to hurt?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is the rest of the body going to say something about it?
Yes.
Yeah. My eye hurts! I can't see good! I mean, the whole body is going to scream. The whole body is going to cry.
Mm-hmm.
I step on some awful thing with my foot. Big old cut piece of glass on the beach. My foot is just bleeding. I mean, I may have severed a tendon or something. Don't you think my whole body is going to limp and be in pain over this? So if one member is in pain, the rest of the body is saying, there's something wrong here. Sister so-and-so is in pain. We need to come and help her.
Amen.
Now, it says on the other hand, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The legs ran a wonderful race today at the Olympics. The rest of the body is rejoicing. You know? It isn't just the legs that ran the race. The rest of the body had to work with it. The balance center of the brain had to give the command, you know, the arms had to move in the right position, the eyes had to cooperate, you know, with the legs that were running down that track, you know.
Well,
they don't do that in the Winter Olympics, do they? They just skate and ski and stuff like that. But then, you know, okay. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Ye are the body of Christ. This is the word to us. We are the body of Christ. Amen? And God hath set some in the church. Now he's talking about ministry gifts here. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Okay? Now you know there's actually five of them. But there are only three that are mentioned here. Okay? Apostles, prophets, teachers. After that, miracles. Why did I stop there? Whatever happened to miracles?
Oh, there's miracles every day. Really, yeah.
Are there miracles?
Yes.
Okay, so you still believe in miracles?
Yes.
All right. Can we have miracles in the fellowship?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Don't forget that now. God might want you to be praying and bring a miracle about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be me.
No.
I don't know that he said anything to me about giving me a gift of miracles. I can talk about it. I probably don't work any more miracles than the rest of you work.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Miracles. Gifts of healings.
Yes. Amen.
These gifts are in the fellowship.
Yes.
When somebody says, I need prayer, get up and pray for them.
Amen.
It doesn't just have to be two or three of us. Now, listen, when we've got somebody in our midst that's moving in an unclean spirit, I don't want them up praying for somebody. All right? And we might have to suggest that until they're proven a little bit, that they not be up praying for somebody. But you know who we trust. You know that you're walking faithful in God. Walk in the gift. Amen? Gifts of healings, helps. What is this thing called, helps? Is there anybody that can't move in the gift of helps?
Everybody can.
Is there anybody excluded?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody here. Everybody can help somebody else.
Amen.
All you have to do is recognize there's a need.
Right.
Okay, helps. If that's your gift, do it. Governments, now by the way, that doesn't mean you're going to be president. Government means that you're gifted in organizing things.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I think Sister Alicia's got a gift in that.
Mm-hmm.
In organizing, getting the dinners all organized. It's a government type of thing, you know? Seeing that everything runs smoothly, she takes it very seriously too, and we miss her really in that gift. Diversities of tongues. Amen. Are all apostles? You know the answer to that. There aren't very many, are there? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? You see, some of these are kind of rare gifts in the body. Are all workers of miracles? The answer is obvious, no. Have all gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now here's that word covet again.
Mm-hmm.
But covet, desire, the best gifts. And yet show I you unto you a more excellent way. And that's going to be the passage on love. I don't have time to go into that. Brethren, if we don't walk in love, what good are all these gifts?
Mm-hmm.
Now, just for historical benefit, the gifts apparently abounded in Corinthians,
mm-hmm.
in Corinth.
Mm-hmm.
In the Corinthian people. They must have had lots and lots and lots of gifts. There was competition for prophecy in their midst, you know? Everybody's jumping up with a prophecy and a healing and a miracle. I mean, wow. These people really had it. But why did he have to throw this chapter in about love? Maybe they were short on love.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't want to make light of it. I want the love of Christ. I want more of His love. I don't walk in enough love, brethren. And you know, God has heard me, and He's giving me some good challenges to walk in love. Amen. Now, I'm not looking at anybody. But no, God is good. He gives us what we need.
Oh, yes.
You know, there's more. And maybe sometime I could do a teaching on what is preaching and what is teaching in the church.
Amen.
There's a lot said about it in the Word of God. Another time.
Amen.
Well, God bless you.